live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Powerade Tidal Burst presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, he's back, Arthur Bloody Tunstall and his bag of gags. The Save the ABC rally, we were there in the thick of the action. Mick visits the home of novelist Stephen King and the spectacular closing ceremony in Atlanta. We were there too. Well, let's say we were. On Radio Gladiators, we're talking Fergie. We'll be sending someone to the UK in our new competition, Martin Malloy True Confessions. And online from London, we'll be having a yak to Judith Lucy if all goes well. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that, like the Olympics, will today end with Gloria Estefan and kiddies on BMX bikes, Martin Malloy. And in my pocket, that's Alanis Morissette. Good afternoon, Australia. This is Martin Malloy on deck for another week with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke over here, a man who was nearly beaten senseless by pensioners at yesterday's Save the ABC rally when he turned up dressed up as Channel 9's Humphrey Bear, Mick Malloy.
Well, you know, I was halfway there. I didn't have any pants on.
Yeah, it was a very good likeness. But tell you what, we'll start there today, I think. Okay. Let's go round the brouhaha.
Could we?
Because there's been a lot of brouhahas over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Firstly, the ABC rally. A lot of people turned out at the Domain in Sydney yesterday to fight for what they believe in, mainly our beloved AB. Reports on the actual size of the turnout vary wildly. The organisers claim the crowd numbered over 60,000. Police estimate the numbers at closer to 7,000. But I don't think the cops were counting anyone dressed as a character seen on the AB.
Right.
So that's how I saw at least 100 people in homemade B1 cozzies, a mere handful as B2, whose popularity, I don't know if you've noticed, Mickey, has been on the slide ever since he was overheard ringside at Atlanta last week, cracking a number of offensive jokes about bananas who have been left out in the sun too long. I'm sure I heard the phrase black bastards at one point. It's backfired on him badly. I also saw a couple of people in the crowd dressed as Doctor Who. This is true. Great excuse to throw on the floppy hat and scarf. A few Daleks, a Cyberman, and scariest of all, someone made up to resemble Ian Parmenter, that mad-ass chef. But the afternoon was fairly uneventful until the ABC show band turned on a blistering version of the old theme from GP. And one elderly woman did her hip attempting a stage dive. The event was attended by a number of dangerous ABC subversives, including that Maxine McHugh, Richard Moorcroft, Ruth Cracknell,
trouble,
all of whom will hopefully be safely behind bars before the end of this government's term. Now, another brouhaha in today's paper comes courtesy Alexander Downer, who has blasted the Australian media, accusing it of being negative and insulting. Now, Mick, I don't think we've been too negative or insulting about old bungles, do you?
Not at all.
I think we've been admirably bipartisan with regards to bungles and his continuing incompetence. This Liberal government are apparently extremely sensitive about how they're portrayed in the media. I heard a great story over the weekend about how Amanda Vanstone's department have been calling up newspapers and kind of leaning on them to stop accompanying stories about her with a particular photo which makes her look, quote, fat and ugly.
Yeah.
Now, as this journo said to me, maybe the problem might be at her end. I mean, as you know, I've been trying for years to stop the papers from running those photos which make me look like a geeky little skinny bastard with glasses and bad posture, but they just won't. I know they've got other photos where I'm a dead ringer for Mel Gibson, but they refuse to run them. Now, as I hinted earlier, Arthur Tunstall is in the poo again. You'll see this on tonight's news. It's just a fantastic excuse for lots of photos and footage from the files of a sheepish, Eric Morecambe-looking Arthur Tunstall. Arthur Tunstall in new racist joke row screams the headlines. A US boxing official at Atlanta, David Lubsy, says he was taken aback when he overheard Arthur Tunstall ringside telling several gags and stories in which he referred to Aborigines as, quote, black bastards. Now, Arthur's denied the story, and to be fair, there is some suggestion that he's been set up by US boxing officials who are angry with Arthur, smarting for a bit of payback because of his refusal to investigate bribery claims against judges at the Seoul Olympics in 1988. So the full story hasn't come out yet. But we thought, hey, good enough excuse as any to recall the last time Arthur was in racist joke poo. Here's something we found in the bottom drawer.
What is the deal with these Aboriginal athletes? I mean, Kathy Freeman, she's supposed to be representing her country. She can't even recognise her own bloody flag. And how about that Lionel Rose? He calls himself a boxer. He can't even take a bloody joke. Here's one for you. What's the difference between Lionel Rose and a Jap tidal wave? One's a tsunami and the other one's gonna sue me. Made that one up myself.
So, Arthur, the stand-up comedy's really taking off.
Yeah, George, the Abbo gear's really working for me. Course, how's my luck moving into an apartment right opposite Lionel Rose? He's one of them, you know. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Tunstall.
Oh, hello, Lionel. What do you want?
It's the first of the month.
So?
I've come to give you a pinch and a punch.
He's a big bastard.
Next week on Tunstall, Arthur drops his biggest joke yet.
Guess what? I've just been re-elected head of the Commonwealth Games Committee.
Is partly responsible for our big new competition, True Confessions. Mm. Coming up in the next hour here on Martin Molloy, now brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Mm. It's green, it's drinkable, it's energetic. It's now, it's happening.
You've got it covered. You've got it all in.
So if you have a listen to all those descriptions there that I just said, it certainly won't be confused with Arthur Tunstall. We just enjoyed an episode of Tunstall just before that song there. And do you think he'll be popping up on that Friends on Channel 7?
Yeah, Friends of who?
One of the grumpier and less talk about Friends. But there's not just Tunstall action going on in Atlanta. No, no, no. What else is happening as the Olympics draw to a close,
well,
Mickey?
Tone, the Olympics are over and the Australian team have acquitted themselves well, possibly too well, because the record medal tally means our successful athletes will not get anywhere near the previously advertised price on offer for bagging one of the elusive medallions.
Right.
You may remember when Michael Diamond won his gold medal 2 weeks ago, it was worth 50 grand, yeah. 50,000. Yeah. Now it's valued at about 17,000.
And now, why is this?
Well, look, under the original Olympic Dream Medal Reward Scheme, administered by the Australian Olympic Committee, Australian medalists were to receive 50 grand for gold, 30 grand for silver, and 15 grand for bronze.
Yep.
But the $1 million limit on the prize pool and our better than expected performance, particularly in team sports like hockey and basketball, means those figures have just, gone through the dunny.
So every time somebody wins something, everyone gets less cash.
Yeah. Before the Hockey Roos won their gold medal on Friday night, our 16 gold medalists stood to receive 34 grand. But with the addition of 16 hockey players, that figure is now at 17 grand.
Oh, those thoughtless hockey players.
Absolutely. Our silver medalists will receive about 8 grand instead of 30. And as for our bronze medalists, well, that worthless piece of metal wouldn't get them their return fare home from Atlanta.
You'd be dark, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd be absolutely ropeable. Those hockey roos would have been beaten to a pulp when they got back to that village, probably by other successful athletes who've already spent their 50 grand.
Exactly.
They're going to have to come home and spend the next 3 years hawking stuff. Did you see Monteghetti running in the marathon? Right. He's been pelted with fruit the whole way by members of our successful equestrian team.
It's not on. And the value of our gold medal is falling faster than the value of our dollar.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know, the dollar could be worth more. They should just drill a hole through the dollar coin, attach it to some ribbon and present him with that on the dais. What's the dip? How's our gold medal performing against the yen? I'll be casting one eye over finance with Jim Whaley tonight. See how the Aussie gold is trading against the German bronze. Sell! 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 Are they taxed on that?
Will the hockey
roos have to declare their medals, or are they better just going straight to somewhere like Monte Carlo, which is a known medal haven? What about the Woodies? They're on board for a couple of gold. Normally, they wouldn't fart for 17 grand. They live in a compound for rich people, said so themselves. They've got their snouts in the trough. Try and explain that to Daniel Kowalski, whose 4 years of unrewarded toil will see him scratching around for a lazy 8 grand. The system is buggered. It needs a total overhaul. Here's an idea. Why don't organisers put our successful athletes in those money tanks? You know, where all the cash is blowing around and you're getting there and you've got 30 seconds. You know, set it up behind the podium. Not only is that fairer, I think it more adequately captures the Olympic spirit. Incidentally, you know that new bank I've joined, Tone? That's what they use now for ATMs. come on down and watch me make a withdrawal. It's quite a spectacle.
That'll cost you.
Oh, yeah. But there you go. Sorry, everyone who competed with success in Atlanta. You did your country proud, but it's coming out of your pocket.
Yep.
You know, up until now, Tone, most athletes have kept their gold medals in trophy cabinets or on the mantelpiece, reminding them of their glorious exploits. But, well, these Olympians, I'm tipping they'll be keeping their medals down the back of the couch with the rest of the shrapnel.
Life here at Martin Malloy and Mickey. We're talking Olympics. We're talking, well, the closing ceremony. That was this morning, wasn't it? I think it's being replayed this evening on the telly.
Is it? That'll be our first chance to have a look-see.
Yeah. What exactly happened? I saw a few highlights. I saw a few kiddies on BMX bikes. I saw a Gwawi Westerfan doing a bit of singing. I need to know more. We want to know more about what happened.
Mm.
We want people who witnessed the closing ceremony to call us up now.
With their highlights, with their interesting observations.
Yeah, with their thoughts on the ceremony and whether it bodes well for the Sydney Olympics. We just want to hear all about the closing ceremony. If you witnessed it on the telly, call us up. Have a yak to a couple of bozos. It's as simple as that. 1-800-657-657 from anywhere in the Big Brown Land.
Yep.
Now, Mickey, I'm just looking at the schedule.
Mm.
I don't know if you realise this, but you've got about 9 seconds to fly to America.
How long was that?
9 seconds. Do you think you can do it?
I'll call a cab.
All right. I'll give him a head start because now it is time to cross to Mick Malloy crapping on about books.
Thanks, Tone. Today I'm crapping on about Stephen King, the best-selling novelist and screenwriter. And what better place to do that than here at his palatial home in Connecticut? That's right. This is the actual house where, since last Tuesday, the prolific author has written his last 15 books. Moving up the steps now, and wow, here it is, Stephen King's front door.
Stephen King's front door. A terrifying portal to another dimension. A dimension...
No, no need for that. It's just his front door. Now, let's see if Stephen King's home...
Stephen King's home. It may seem like a safe haven, but when the clock chimes midnight...
That's enough.
Hello, I'm Stephen King's butler.
Stephen King's butler, a servant of the devil, dispatched to...
No, not at all. I'm sorry about this. It's been going on for years.
Right, I'm from a radio program in Australia, and I was just wondering if I could have a word in Stephen King's ear.
Stephen King's ear. It knows what you're thinking.
I'm afraid you'll have to wait a moment. Stephen King's going toy-toys.
Stephen King's going toy-toys. Now even the smallest room in the house may be a nightmare.
Yes, right. In that case, I might just wait here on his couch.
On whose couch, sir?
On Mr. King's couch.
Oh, that's not his couch.
No?
No, that's Stephen King's couch in the sitting room.
Stephen King's couch in the sitting room. Take a seat and you'll be transported into a new world of...
I see. So he's just moved in, has he?
That's right.
So that stuff over there must be his then.
Whose stuff? What?
Stephen King's. The chandeliers.
Stephen King's The Chandeliers. Oh, yeah, it's very good.
So, this is his new book, is it?
Yes, it is. That's right.
And this is a picture of him, is it?
Yes.
Gee, Stephen King's a big fat bastard.
Stephen King's a big fat bastard. The story of a man who didn't know when enough was enough.
I mean, look at the size of Stephen King's arse.
Stephen King's arse. A terror so vast.
I'll go and see if he's available, sir.
And while you're there, tell him that Stephen King's latest book is a big fat pile of shit.
Important.
Not that.
Hey, what's the difference between SA...
Call... Once to Free. That's Bodine's here at Martin Malloy. Well, what's going on in the next hour? Judith Lucy, there's still some doubt as to whether we're actually going to make contact with her. I think she's in London.
Yep.
According to the electronic microchip, we'll find out in the next hour. Also, we'll be launching Martin Malloy's True Confessions. It's your chance to get something off the chest. If you've got a big secret you want to reveal to the nation, that'll be your venue. Also, Radio Gladiators coming up. We're talking Fergie today. But in the meantime, we're trying to get to the bottom of the closing ceremony at the Olympics in Atlanta. Who witnessed it? Who saw it, Mickey?
Well, filling in the blanks for us is Andrew. G'day, Andrew. How are you, mate?
Great, thanks, fellas.
That's the way. Now, in a nutshell, what did it mean to you? What was it, the closing ceremony?
Oh, it was the closing ceremony of the Centennial Lip-Syncing Olympics, and everybody failed miserably.
Oh, so it was a bit of an Stedford?
Oh, it was terrible.
Who was lip-syncing?
Everybody was lip-syncing. It just seemed to be on for young and old. It was, here's the headphone mix and move your mouth in the wrong way, and everything was okay. The camera came right up to Paul Schaefer doing this wailing keyboard solo in the Gloria Estefan bit. And the thing wasn't even plugged in.
Oh, really? So
it was
like a bad old countdown episode, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And what about Muhammad Ali? Was he lip-syncing?
Oh, no, I think he does that anyway, doesn't he?
Yes. I think there might be someone just out of reach doing the words for him.
Well, yeah. There's an interesting observation.
Okay, a bad bit of lip-syncing, according to Andrew. That was how it all came to a close. Have we got David there? You there, David?
Yeah, mate.
What did you make of the closing ceremony?
Oh, I cracked up laughing when I saw the stage and Juan Antonio Semeraj was on the stage.
Oh, right, and were people just handing him huge, giant novelty checks trying to get hold of the 2004 Olympics?
Probably, yeah, wouldn't know about that, though.
Yeah. Right.
And there's a guy on the podium on the mic, and Juan Antonio was waiting for his turn on the mic,
yeah.
And there's this big light behind him,
right.
And it's shone right through his crutch.
Oh, really?
And it looked like his crutch was all lit up.
If you ask Juan, he'll tell you that's the sun shining out of his, well, need
that's
I go
I
on.
And was there any sign of Arthur Tunstall? Was he there cracking a few gags?
Yeah, I heard him in the background laughing, yeah.
I see. All right, well...
there you go. Juan Antonio with an illuminated nether region. That's worth staying up, getting up early for, isn't it?
Okay.
I'm just happy to hear he wasn't running around the joint pantsing everyone like he was when Barcelona finished.
Oh,
he loves that.
He does.
He loves that. He's such a wag.
He can't be stopped. Have we got Rebecca? Are you there, Rebecca?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Rebecca. How old are you?
12.
And you were up early this morning watching the ceremony?
No, I was watching it at school.
Oh, at school? Are you calling us on your mobile phone, Rebecca?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it yours?
No, it's my mum's.
Oh, your mum's. Does she know you're using it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's in the other room.
Now, what did yourself and the rest of the school kiddies make of the closing ceremony? Was it inspiring?
Well, yeah, it was okay. It's just I saw some of it at the end, and it was just a whole load of kids dancing and singing around.
All right. And did you see, were they Australian kids on the BMXs?
I didn't see that bit.
Oh, you missed that. What would you have liked to have seen, Rebecca? How do you think it could have been improved?
Just a bit more, I don't know.
A few more Power Rangers, perhaps. Would you like to see them there?
No.
All right. Kitties dancing around. And lip-syncing and...
No surprises there.
Juan Antonio's bizarre performance. I'm not really forming a full picture of the spectacle.
Not yet.
And, of course, the name Estefan has been mentioned. Have we got John there? You there, John?
Yeah, boys. How are you all?
Oh, yeah. Not too bad. Fill in the blanks for us, mate. We're getting nowhere with this.
Utter BMX boredom and waste about 15 to 20 minutes here and there seeing little kiddies running around.
Yes.
And then at the end seeing one Jesus Samaranch and saying... Well, we'll see you in Sydney in 2000, everyone.
Did he get Sydney right? He didn't do the old Sydney again, did
he? Yeah, well, it actually sounded a bit like it, you know.
Yes.
And it was rather, you know, just one of those, you could have replayed Barcelona and let it, you know, just so boring.
Gotcha. And what about the song Gloria Estefan was singing? Let me guess, was it The Power of the Dream? Was it anthemic and inspiring?
I was just taken back by Stevie Wonder. He was so good showing that head around.
Oh, really?
Stevie Wonder was there also, and he was great on the gold keyboard again.
I think we've heard quite enough from Robert Morley, so if we could lose that call. What have we learned today, Mickey?
Nothing. Absolutely. Not to throw the lines open to our listeners when we don't have a clear idea of what we want.
Well, I think we've heard quite enough about the closing ceremony, so tell you what, we'll get a much more intelligent forum going in just a moment as we turn on another Radio Gladiators.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst.
Boy, it's all better now, and it's time for...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mickey, everywhere you look, people are just doing stuff for money. Doing anything for money. Over at the Olympics, it's just sponsorship city. The Pope's setting up a shop. Have you heard about this? A chain of Vatican shops a la the ABC shop.
It's your one-stop papal shop.
The Pope is backing a worldwide chain of soft furnishing boutiques that will sell items such as cushion covers, curtains, rugs and wall hangings featuring images from the Vatican's priceless collection of religious art. So you can go and get yourself a Pope's hat.
Yep. You can do anything you like.
Signed by the Pope. And then you've got Fergie, who comes out here for $100,000 to plug Foxtel.
Yep.
Is that behaviour befitting a member of the royal family?
That's what she does now. That's what she set up to do. If you've got the cash, she'll turn up.
And she's there hobnobbing with a few celebrities, hobnobbing with what to me looked like the new look Demi, but turned out to be the son of Rupert Murdoch. Mm-hmm. There was the Queen of the Face, Paul's, Julia Morris getting close to her. There's everybody there. So what we're saying basically is, what would you like to see? Fergie advertising, because obviously she's available.
Yep.
You know, Foxtel have slung her a check. She's gone, oh, yeah, I'll be there. I'll fly the flag for Foxtel. I'll do that.
Yep.
So what would you like to see?
Well, I can't tell you what I would like to see. I can give you two things I don't want to see her flogging.
<All right. laughs>
I don't want to see her in leotards and leg warmers pushing her own home video workout tape. And I don't want to see her posing with blue liquid and pouring it onto something supposedly containing sphagnum. Is that too much to ask? Am I clear on that?
No.
Are you with me, people of Australia?
But, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
I know that.
If you've got a shop and you've got $100,000, Fergie will be there, smash. And the champagne out the front.
There you go.
No, we don't want it to become known as the Duchess of Sphagnum, so there's not going to be any prize for you, Mick Malloy.
Good.
What would you like to see her doing? I'd like to see her doing one of them crazy ads. Just come to Crazy Bob's and Fergie. What could she be dressed as? Well, what about as the Duchess of York? That'd be a pretty mad costume for
her. Over the top.
Bring something from your own wardrobe. Let's see her doing a bit of that. Uh-huh. I don't know. We'll leave it open to the public.
Let's leave it open to the public.
Don't want to choose all the good ones.
No.
Okay. We want you to call us up with what you'd like to see Fergie flogging, because clearly that's the path she's chosen to go down. And, isn't she also doing a documentary about the Maralinga test?
Yes, she has, Tone. She's gone from writing children's books about a little helicopter called Budgie to an in-depth exploration of Aboriginal history and culture, which is going to be shown worldwide, because she's an expert in the field. I think we'll see her condensing 40,000 years of Aboriginal history into a cute little paperback. probably who knows what she's up to, but good, it's about time, because if anyone had known, Fergie would know.
And isn't she doing doing a doco about the Maralinga bomb test?
There you go.
And I suppose she'll be asking which has done the most damage. You know, has Britain done the most damage with their bomb tests, or just send Fergie out to tromp around the world making documentaries?
You're still doing it.
All right.
You're still doing it, England. You're still sending your rubbish out here and leaving us to clean it up.
So I suppose it's appropriate, but we want to know what you'd like to see Fergie flogging. Do we have a prize? We'll step into the prize lounge. As I inform you, we're still sinking in quality Bolle sunnies. There could be a pair on your face if you come good today, and you'll be going into the draw for a trip to trip 42, as I always say.
<There you go. laughs>
It's my childhood trauma. I was attacked by a storm of hornets. I've never been the same, but we wanted to send you to Falls Creek. We're so damn keen on the place. Qantas and the people at Diana Lodge are coming good, and of course the people at Jeebus Ski Hire are along for the ride. So
Jeebus.
It's a quality package. It's going off this Friday. Whatever happens, the sunnies are yours. Call us now, 1-800-657-657.
I'd phone up and complain on the new SAFM.
Arena here at Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. And today, because Fergie has said, I'm here, come and get me, how much have you got? I'll advertise whatever you want. I'll go into bat for whatever product you're flogging, because I just need the money.
Yep.
That's really what she's up to. And we're saying, what else would you like to see Fergie flogging. And did we get Michael back? Have we lost Michael?
I think we did. Was that right?
Because Michael would have won, I think, with his suggestion of tractors. The massive Ferguson tractor. Yeah. But I'm afraid we've lost him. So let's see if anyone can better him. Who have we got?
Oh, what a feeling. It's like Fergie jumping up in front of a tractor. Oh, I'd like to see
it.
It's
a potent image, Mickey. But let's see. Paul. Paul, are you with us, Paul?
Anthony, Michael, how are you?
Oh, good. Not too bad, you polite young man. What would you like to see the Duchess of York advertising?
Well, I'm thinking Fergie's a bit of a fuddy-duddy, you see. So I'd like to see her at the little Sunday market with a little trestle table, a thermos, flogging little knitted clowns and toys, little knitted coat hangers.
Is there cash in that? Is there big cash in that?
Oh, there is.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some. She could probably sell some under-the-counter naughty photos of the royal family or some leftover jewels.
So she's just got a station wagon with the back down.
The back up.
And just
she's got a blankie over the legs. She's sitting there. What about out the front of, you know, like those bargain discount shops with a little microphone? Hello, shoppers. Welcome, shoppers. Come in here. We've got fantastic bargains for you today.
And often,
or I'm not the Duchess of York.
And often they'll be dressed as a clown, so it wouldn't be too much of a stretch for her.
There's a save. Immediately.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Not bad. Now we've got Nicole. Nicole, what would you like to see Fergie flogging?
I was thinking Campbell Cash and Carry with the frizzed hair and throwing items over her shoulder. You know,
yes. I'm not sure if that goes out in all states, but I believe Delilah is the front person, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be Fergie going, "You white people don't know nothing."
Fergie actually thinks she's an Aboriginal.
Of course.
She's seen that ad.
That's right. Okay, thanks, Nicole, filling in for Delilah. Have we got David on the line? You there, David?
Yep.
What do you want to see Fergie advertising?
Well, you know how she's a pretty washed up now, so I figured those Pantene commercials with the hair.
All right.
It won't happen overnight, but it will happen.
So she'd be taking over from the bogan goddess Rachel Hunter.
Rachel Hunter, of course.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, flogging the shampoo. Is that something
she's trying to get out of debt? It won't happen overnight, but it will happen.
All right. Have we got Jessica on the line? You there, Jessica?
Hello.
Jessica, what's your suggestion for Fergie's new advertisement?
St. Vincent de Paul.
St. Vincent de Paul. So she's out the front of one of them sort of St. Vincent de Paul donation bins, and she's saying, "This is where I get most of my clothing from. Why not join me?" That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She could get stuff from the St. Vincent de Paul bin and wear it as part of her foray into the fashion world.
A supermodel.
They're coming down the catwalk.
All right.
With the St. Vincent de Paul range.
It's an appealing cocktail from where I'm sitting, Mickey, but let's see if Lachlan... Lachlan, is that your real name?
Yep.
You're not Lachlan Murdoch?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I'd like to see... Like, I know Pete Smith does a great job, but I'd like to see Fergie flogging a bit of the old copper art.
Oh! Yeah. Miss Copper Art. The Duchess of Copper Art.
That's right.
Okay, well...
Well, there you go.
Pete's... I'll just see.
I don't know if Pete's particularly into that.
No, he's got a peg on his nose in the booth. He's not too impressed, but we certainly like the idea. Thanks, Michael. And finally, we've got yet another Paul. Are you there, Paul, too?
Yeah.
What's your suggestion for Fergie?
Oh, g'day, Mick and Tony. How are you?
Not bad at all.
Mate, I think Fergie should be in a pair of cut-off denim shorts and a hard yakka T-shirt selling power tools.
Oh, right. Is this an image you've long wanted to see, or...?
Well, you know, I think they should have a slogan. I know a good drill when I see one.
Yeah. Okay.
You can a hand Duchess Grand Spanner.
That's
give
right.
Give me my Makita back Duchess. I don't know. It's not a bad idea, flogging the power tools.
Is it a winner?
Is it a winner? I don't know. Should we go for the Duchess of Copper Art?
The Duchess of Copper Art.
All right. Yes, it is. Okay, it's Lachlan, not the same Lachlan who was seen sneaking up to Fergie's hotel room, but guess what? You've got yourself the cool Bolle Sunnies.
Thanks very much, guys.
And you've gone into the draw for the trip to Falls Creek when, in fact, Mr. Copperart himself will be drawing that this Friday.
Fantastic.
Okay, be listening then. Thanks to everybody who had a suggestion, everybody who didn't, and we'll be back in the next hour, hopefully, with Judith Lucy and True Confessions.
This is Martin Malloy.
I want to hear what this sound like. Let me hear them.
Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Drink the bold new power source.
We'll be back tomorrow morning on the new SAFM.
Martin Malloy will open the file marked True Confessions. Mick pulls the tarp off his latest infomercial, and next up we'll be dialing London to hopefully wake up Judith Lucy. Brian Adams is you here at Martin Malloy, now brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. And
I use it for everything, Tan.
We've been guzzling down all day.
I brush my teeth with it.
But it's time to...
In the bar.
Well, that's all well and good, but let's meet somebody who hasn't been drinking Powerade Tidal Burst.
All right.
And you people at home will be able to run a comparison. Two blokes who have been, one person who hasn't been. Listen, is she on the phone now, Gracie? Yep. Have we got it? Well, yes, we've made contact. She's on her way to the Edinburgh Festival. I don't think her show starts tonight. I hope not anyway. She's in London. And just keep in mind, people, it's very bloody early over there. We've got her out of bed. It's Judith Lucy. Judith, can you hear us?
I can.
Where are you exactly?
London. I'm in Happy Town.
Oh, really? Can you elaborate on that?
Can I tell you that my trip hasn't gotten off to the greatest start? And I know this is going to take you by surprise.
What happened?
Well, basically, my trip... Do you think I could be smoking a bit more cigarettes? I've probably turned into Bonnie Tyler since I've popped over to London.
Yes, you're sounding a bit B. Arthur.
Trip's gotten off to a great start. I've popped into the taxi that's left Heathrow, and one of the first things that the taxi driver has said to me is he's done the old thing where he's nearly run over a pedestrian, yeah. And he's cracked the old, gee, I'll be getting 10 points for that, but I'd be getting 20 points for that if it was a packy. Whereupon I've had to tell him that I actually used to go out with someone from Pakistan, and I admittedly, if it was the person that I'd gone out with, I probably would have agreed with him. But generally, I've had to say, you've got to shove your racist, classist, warm beer, fried in lard, robin's nest, no showers, bish, bash, bosh, got the motor running, get sideways up your ass.
So you're already connecting with the locals.
Then a few of us have gone out for lunch after we've done the 26-hour flight. And I'm not going to bore you with the story, but I will just tell you that one of the people that we befriended while we were drinking wound up being arrested and taken away in a police van.
What was his crime?
Basically, I was told that I had too much to drink. So
he was arrested on your behalf.
Basically, yes, because he said, no, we're not leaving, you've done nothing wrong and you're not that drunk, which I know you're going to find hard to believe. And I said, no, let's leave. And he said, no, I'm staying here. And the police arrived and I've said, please, let's go. And then he's gone, yeah, you're right, it's fine, we'll go. And then he's gone back to the police and said, actually, when you leave, I'm going to kick in the windows of the restaurant, which is when they've gone, we are the cast from the bill, and we're going to have to pop you in the back of a van.
Yes, I understand kicking in the windows of a restaurant qualifies as restaurant criticism in Britain.
And then I've done the great thing where, as a friend of mine has put it, you've been so interested in the pavement in London that you had to just examine it very closely.
You've been going down Jason Donovan style, have you, Jude?
So it's gone from the packy, the police, the pavement, to going back to the hotel. And the hotel's fantastic because you have to pay a £20 deposit to use the ironing board. Which is a bit disappointing because generally when I leave the hotel, I just, you know, whop the ironing board up my top and walk out unnoticed. I've got quite a collection of ironing boards at home.
Yes, we've been into the ironing board room at your place, Jude. It's a spectacular collection.
This is something you'll love. The following evening, Greg Fleet and I have done a gig, and the compere was Rick Wakeman. And I mean the Rick Wakeman.
At a comedy venue?
At a comedy venue. And basically, he would just walk on stage, go, I'm Rick Wakeman, I'm wearing a wacky jacket, here's Judith Lucy.
He didn't do a song or two?
No, well, as someone pointed out to me, it could have been worse, it could have been Mike Oldfield.
Well, it's good to see Rick Wakeman is finally fulfilling most people's opinion of him after all these years.
Yes.
Jude, do you want to take a bit of a break?
Absolutely.
Well, we've got some music for you. I'm sure this will cheer you up, and we'll be back in a moment with Judith Lucy on Martin Molloy.
The new SAFM, now playing better music and more of it.
Show was your lover here at
Martin Molloy.
And Judith Lucy is just hanging in there. She's in London. It's very early in the morning. Would that be fair to say, Judith?
It's a little early for me because, you know, normally I'm a chamomile tea girl.
Yeah.
But since I've been here, I have been having a couple of ales.
Right. And what have you seen of the local colour? Have you actually, apart from getting out and running into Rick Wakeman, have you seen anything out on the street that we should know about?
Look, I have had something happen to me that I'd sort of be disappointed if you didn't know.
Right.
Because I've discovered Jessica and Jessica's collection. According to her pamphlet, she is a legend in the nail care world.
The nail care world?
Yes.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people jockeying for the title of legend status in that particular field.
Well, can I read you a little bit about Jessica?
Yes, please.
As a young girl in Romania, Jessica noticed that the most glamorous and elegant women always had beautifully groomed hands. With this idea as her inspiration, Jessica undertook arduous training in the care, growth, and beauty of nails, studying with leading European experts.
So
which
this is
kind of made me think, I don't know why I did the BA, because I really should have just gotten a PhD in bikini line waxing.
It's all important work that was obviously going on behind the Iron Curtain there.
What?
Doesn't sound like Ceausescu's Romania to me. It's all about good grooming, was it?
Jessica has actually released her own...
Who's Jessica? Why has she got a pamphlet out? What's she done? What's it called? Well, Jessica's Secret?
Because she is a legend in the nail care world. I can't believe that you're being so blasé about this. Some of Jessica's tips for looking after your nails is she recommends that you don't use your nails to open letters, type, dial a phone, or pick up things. So, essentially, you've got beautiful nails, but you have to act like you're a victim of Agent Orange.
Exactly. You have to pretend you got two stumps, courtesy of one of the field's legends. Hey, Jude, you haven't run into Paul Onions over there, have you?
I had sex with him last night.
Did you? All right. It sounds like you might be ready for a lie down. While you're up, don't forget to order the continental breakfast.
Oh, listen, while I'm here, I'm intending on eating nothing with fibre in it. I just want to be the most constipated woman in London.
Well, I hope that helps your performances in Edinburgh. In fact, next time you do a gig, get Rick Wakeman to introduce you as just that. Please make a welcome, the most constipated woman in London, Judith Lucy. And don't touch her nails.
I'd really love to get Krista Berg involved as well.
All right.
And be the lady in red.
Well, I hope you've achieved that by the time we call you next week. We're going to be calling you again, I'm afraid, Jude, in Scotland.
Well, you know, next time I may have not drunk the amount that I drank last night and had 2 hours sleep.
Well, you're a bloody idiot, Judith Lucy.
You love me, don't you?
Indeed, and we'll talk to you again next week on Martin Molloy.
I think we can get her a guest shot on Wild Kingdom.
Shaggy here on Martin Molloy. He's a bit of a seagull. He just helps himself to bits of everybody else's tunes. But
yep.
Listen, we were speaking to Judith Lucy just before, and why do I get the feeling that next time when we call up to speak to her, we're going to be told that she's been found cowering in a woodpile, Margot Kidder style, and she started cutting her own hair.
Yeah, I think we'll be lucky to talk to her again. I think next time she'll only be allowed one phone call, and I'll certainly hope it'll be to us.
But she's already getting into the spirit of Edinburgh, which is quite different from the spirit of Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
If you've ever been there. Now, what is it time for, Pete?
Give us the mail.
Got something you want to get off your chest?
Well, now's your chance, because it's time for Martin Molloy True Confessions. Maybe you've forgotten someone's birthday. Perhaps you've been stealing stationery from work. Or maybe it's just that you're the brains behind TV's Mahatma Coat. Everybody has a guilty secret, but only Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to fess up and bag yourself a fabulous prize. Three confessors enter the booth, but only one emerges with the George Michael 3½ pack of CDs and goes into the drawer for a trip for two to the UK to see George Michael live in concert. All thanks to Foxtel's Red Music Television. Okay, lads, let them off the hook.
Yes, it's a 3½ pack of CDs. I'm not quite sure what that means. It means that there's certainly three CDs in there, and I think there's a CD single. I think it's as simple as that. And, of course, one of the CDs is Older by George Michael, and there's Spinning the Wheel and Super Funk, the compilation. There's all kinds of dancing gear going on, and all you have to do is call up and confess to something that's been preying on your mind, something that's been keeping you awake nights, and you're thinking, now's the chance to just get it out in the open before a national audience.
And you're not making them up. These are things you've actually done.
Now, Judith Lucy's already opened her account by saying that she performed at a venue where the MC was Rick Wakeman. Of a Journey to the Centre of the Earth fame.
The ball is rolling.
And what can we confess to, Mickey? I'll tell you what, I think I've mentioned this before on the show. I've mentioned it to somebody anyway. But yes, I was Vanetta Fields in the D-Generation video clip for the song Five in a Row. I'm not proud of it, Mickey.
I was in that and I had no idea.
Was that you? Yeah, and I'm not proud of it at all. It was very early days with the group, and Rob Sitch was playing John Farnham. Santo Chilaro was playing Jimmy Barnes, and they've gone, team, you're going to have to be Vanetta Fields. We're understaffed. It was made on a very low budget. And I couldn't really argue. You know, I wasn't going to take people on. I just said, all right, if you think that's funny, I'll be Vanetta Fields. And it was the most piss poor and frankly offensive Arthur Tunstall style impression I've ever seen.
Right.
And it's right up the back. You have to almost slow it down to see it. But it's shocking. Absolutely appalling.
You've outed yourself.
I have.
Well done. Do you feel better?
I feel much
better,
Mickey.
That's the kind of therapy we're offering.
That's right.
Here's something I'd like to get off my chest, and I've been sitting on this for a while.
Yeah. What have you done?
At home, in my record collection, I have a Tears for Fears album.
Oh, really?
I'm afraid so.
Is that true?
I bought it. I went down the shop and paid money. Okay, I was 12, I was 13, I don't know how old.
You were 25. I was there.
Which one was it?
Shout.
Let it all out.
The worst one.
Yeah, that's a good theme for the segment. Of course, I have a very poor history in music. As you may remember, I think I have fessed up to this as well, Tone. I was beaten up at round about the same age for riding my bicycle through Mount Eliza wearing Gene Simmons makeup from Kiss.
I'm out, people!
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's what we want from you. We want you to call us up and admit to something. Fess up to something you've done.
Nothing which will result in criminal proceedings, mind you. Something small. Just something that's been preying on your mind that you're a little bit embarrassed about it. We've done it. Do as we do, and you could be in the draw for that trip to the UK, which involves seeing George Michael in concert. So, call us up, 1-800. Oh, hang on. We have to get the booth in.
Yep.
We've got to get the booth in because we want to let people know that this is a proper confessional. It's not just a couple of bozos. Well, it is. But if you could wheel in the booth, check it out. Emma, give it a push.
That's beautiful.
That's an actual confession. Where did we get this from?
It used to be bookshelves. I think we've been tooling it up all weekend.
It hasn't been blessed by the Pope, has it? It's probably the kind of thing he'll be selling at his shop.
It's on his mail or the catalogue.
All right, we've got the confessional booth in position. Call us now with your true confession. 1-800-657-657. Yes, thanks very much, Gracie on the organ. And that slinky, velvety rhythm tells us it's time for true confessions here at Martin Molloy.
Mm-hmm.
We simply want you to fess up, tell us what you've done. It's been preying on your mind. Three confessors enter the booth. Only one emerges with the 3½ pack of CDs and the possibility of going to see George Michael in concert in the UK. We've got the Martin Molloy Confessional Booth up and ready to go. We haven't tested it yet.
No, we haven't.
So I tell you what, let's step inside, shall we, Mickey?
Our bag's a window seat.
And we're ready to go. Let's meet the first... Just open the little slidey wooden window, if you could, Gracie. And who have we got first, Mickey?
I believe it's Chris. Hello, Chris. How are you?
How you doing, Mick? Tony?
Not too bad at all. Would you like to fess up for us, Chris? What have you been up to?
Well, I managed to scare the hell out of most of the local lawn bowls club by... waking up about, I got woken up about 5 o'clock in the afternoon by them lying drunk in the middle of their bowling green.
Oh, really? Drunk in the middle of the bowling green. When was this, Chris?
This is probably about a year or so ago. The Evander Holyfield Riddick Bow title fight. I've been down the pub drinking a bit and tried to make my way home. And the next thing I knew, it was bright as daylight and there was a ring of... people in white clothing and hats on.
And did you think you'd perhaps gone upstairs? You were surrounded by people in white?
I thought they were angels.
You know what had happened?
Yeah.
You know, they woke you up at 5 o'clock, but they'd already played a full day of bowls. They'd been using your head as a jack.
That's what my head felt like.
I see. And what sort of state were you in, Chris?
Well, I can't... like I said, it was probably a couple of hours after the fight, and I just got woken up, and I reckon I was scared more than them because there was just a group of people. I didn't even know how I got there. There's a big, like a 2-metre-high fence around the place.
Oh, wow.
I was right bang in the middle of it.
You levitated your way into the bowls club. And what was your opening line? Because to me, that's a great circumstance to have a one-liner ready.
I told them I was just having a nap.
No, just having a nap.
Stupid,
You're an overzealous greenkeeper.
Oh,
very
they brought
nice.
Me and gave me some coffees and biscuits and that. You know, I end up watching them, I think.
All right, Chris, well, you've fessed up. And let's move someone else into the booth, shall we? Let's just open. We've got to open the slidey door, Gracie. It's part of the format, I'm afraid. And Jill, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
And how are you? Can you top Chris's story with the lawn bowls? What have you been doing that requires a confession?
Well, I've got something a bit more recent.
Yeah.
This week I've been playing Uno with my boyfriend just while the equestrians have been on.
Playing Uno?
Yes.
Remember? Oh, you know the card game.
Yes.
Is that our winner? Right, you've been playing, you know, okay.
Yes.
Well, that's so far so good.
Yeah, and he thinks he's really good at all these competitive things.
Yeah.
But the only reason I've been winning is because I've been dealing myself 6 cards instead of 7.
Oh, you've been on the cheat. Chill. And will this be the first he hears about it if he's listening?
Unless your show goes to the ESPY, I don't think so.
The ESPY in Melbourne. I'm not sure about that.
Not much Uno gets played down there.
There's a bit of Uno out the back, but no Uno in the front bar. Now, Jill, what about, is this the first time you've cheated at a game like this?
Yeah.
Okay, but does it feel better to get it out of your system?
It does, actually. I'm a bit nervous because I think he's going to walk in any minute now.
Right, okay. Well, if you win a prize, he might let you off the hook. But let's see, it's not over yet, Mickey. Who is our final confessee?
It's Chris. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Chris, are you with us? Chris number two?
Yeah.
Are you there?
There we go. How are you, Chris?
I'm not too bad.
That's the way. Get it off your chest. What do we need to know?
Oh, well, you don't need to know, but a number of years ago, back in the days when Michael Jackson had a big hit with Thriller.
Oh, yes, yes.
There was meant to be a dance down at the local surf club, and everyone was meant to dress like Michael Jackson.
Right.
So girlfriend and I get dressed up, tarted up to the max, and head down to the local surf club, and the dance would be cancelled. And as you can imagine, surf club full of male surf clubbies, drinking,
yes,
staring, laughing. It was quite a mortifying moment for the both of us.
Yeah, well, there you go. You've dressed up as Michael Jackson.
And what did that kind of preparation to that require? Did you just spend the afternoon at home filing your nose? What did you do?
No, it was just trying to wear a jacket that looked similar and lots of makeup and curly hair.
And how did it end up? Were you chased from the premises and with rocks flying at you, that kind of thing?
Well, unfortunately, we were only like about 13 at the time and the folks wanted to stay for a drink. So there's embarrassment number one.
Right.
Number two, they thought we were just so disappointed. You know, we were trying to get out there real fast.
Yeah.
So They took us to the local bowling club.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, where they ran into the other Chris, who was still fast asleep on the green.
No, pin bowling.
Yes. Okay. And why was the Michael Jackson lookalike competition called off? Was it just a case of too hard?
I think it was lack of interest.
Lack of interest.
You know what? Michael Jackson wouldn't win a Michael Jackson lookalike contest these days.
No, I don't think so. Is that our winner, Mickey?
I think it is. That's a confession.
Thank you, Chris.
That's what we're looking for.
Indeed. You've got the 3.5 pack of CDs and you're in the draw for the trip to the UK.
Excellent.
Okay, thanks for fessing up. Re the Michael Jackson situation. And we'll be giving people another opportunity tomorrow, won't we?
Yep, indeed we will. I believe so. Unless we have a meeting directly after the show and decide otherwise.
Okay, we'll be back with more True Confessions tomorrow on Martin Malloy. And until then, remember...
You got to accent. Positive, eliminate the negative and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Whilst here at Martin Malloy, where True Confessions is underway, I don't think we've got anything which is, you know, quite juicy enough to get us into the papers as yet. I think Jason Donovan topped all those confessors on Friday's program.
He's in good form, wasn't he?
If he wants to call us back and take part in the segment, you know, there's the venue for him. But, you know, we were talking about Fergie earlier and how she's out basically on the campaign trail for whatever you've got enough money for her to say, I like this, about. And she's not the only one with something to flog.
Are you feeling sheepish? Done something embarrassing and it's really getting you down? Then why not order the Martin Malloy Memory Loss Tapes? These cheap, easy-to-follow instructional tapes will teach you the art of erasing ugly or painful memories from your mind. Maybe you've just been on a date with Tori Spelling, posed nude for Black and White magazine, gone to see a Sally Field film, or been taken to hospital to have a small household item removed from your rectum. Whatever the embarrassing gaffe may be, the Martin Malloy Memory Loss Tapes will give you the power to forget the whole shameful incident ever happened. Here's what some of our satisfied customers had to say about the Martin Malloy Memory Loss Tapes.
I paid good money for boot scooting lessons, but thanks to the Martin Malloy Memory Loss Tapes, I'm thoroughly convinced it never happened. Thanks, guys. I owe you.
Apparently, I've appeared in 2 Channel 9 promos, but I'm buggered if I can remember what they made me do. Thanks, Martin Malloy.
Hello, I am the President of Russia, and in the lead-up to the last election, somebody saw me around town somewhere doing the Nutbush. But thanks to Martin Malloy, Memory Loss Tapes, and the shitload of vodka, it's all a blur. Thanks, Mick and Tony.
Memory loss tapes? What memory loss tapes?
See? It's that easy. Recently, we were taken to court by a consumer watchdog group. I'd like to tell you how we went, but thanks to the Martin Malloy memory loss tapes, I just don't seem to be able to remember a damn thing about it. So go on, join the likes of Hugh Grant, William Shakespeare, Paul Mercurio, Peter Andre, Isla Fisher, Alexander Downer, and everyone who had anything to do with the making of Lightning Jack, and call us here now to order your Martin Malloy memory loss tapes. Trust us, you'll never remember you did.
That's just a girl from No Doubt. I'm never sure.
I think the TARDIS is leaving.
It's gone back to last week's program. But listen, I'm just going through a bit of paperwork before we sign off here at the Martin Malloy desk.
What you got there, Tone?
Well, people are always sending us stuff in. Who's this? Brian Reynolds. Hello, Bri. How are you? In Campbelltown, South Australia, he sent us a little instruction form. It's a guarantee sheet that comes with his new camera case.
Oh, yeah?
He's got a brand new camera case. It's about time, Bri. We were going to say something. And it's the Pelican camera case. It's got a lifetime guarantee of excellence. The Pelican people will refund your money within 30 days if there's something wrong with it.
Right.
With these special requirements, okay? It will be void if the Pelican product in question has been abused beyond normal and sensible wear and tear. The guarantee does not cover shark bite, bear attack, or children under 5.
Dear, gee, obviously someone made some claims. They've had those tailors in, giving them a camera.
So shark bite beer attack children under five. No mention of damage by Arthur Tunstall.
No, that's true.
I think they should add that.
You know, that makes sense because I saw someone the other day at a wedding taking photos, and just for, it seemed extreme to me, but obviously just for safety's sake, he was in a shark cage.
Was he?
Yeah, not taking any chances with the new camera tone.
All right, thanks for that, Bri. Here's a sign which our music director, Dan, the man who, well, cops it probably more than anybody else on this program, the man who chooses what songs we hear. He was at the Monash Medical Centre in Victoria the other day, and he saw this sign. Due to industrial action, urine testing will not be done today. However, if you wish to do your own, we're more than happy to assist you. That's fantastic. So you can do your own urine test. Isn't that a great incentive to have a urine test done?
It is indeed.
Instead of passing the beaker of urine onto somebody else to do God knows what, no, leave this one with me. Where's the lab? I'll pop down and take care of it myself.
I'll just be over here. That's bad news for anyone turning up expecting to do a urine test, isn't it? You know, it's like, oh, damn, now you tell me. So I'll keep my legs crossed for the next 48 hours, shall I?
It's BYO. Now, I just want to know why our music director's having a urine test as I'm just looking at the music on the show. What, have we been having far too much Phil Collins lately?
In for your test, Danny boy.
And what else? I was looking through the TV guide to see what's on tonight.
Oh, it's just Friends mania. People can't wait to see what the Friends are up to.
But as for me, I'll be over on Channel 10 watching Healthy, Wealthy and Wise because, you know, Tonya Todman never fails to surprise and delight.
What's she up to?
Tonya turns a quilt into a checkerboard game. Far too much time on her hands, that Tonya Todman.
Why is she doing that?
Yeah. Why would you want your quilt turned into a checkerboard game? It's the middle of winter. I want my quilt to be turned into a bloody big quilt.
Hey, Mum, can we play Monopoly? Not yet. I'm going to need a couple more rolls before we're up to that.
What's she doing? Sitting there knitting a board. Oh, I don't know, but one day somebody's going to pop round. She's not going to show up, Tonya Todman. She's not going to show up for a filming of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise. Someone from 10's going to have to pop round her house and the door's going to be unlocked and they're going to go, oh, just go in, and it's going to be like Kevin Spacey's place in Seven. There's going to be stuff everywhere.
Do you reckon she ever buys anything? Do you reckon she just makes it? Whatever she needs. Whatever's on her shopping list, she'll just make.
Whatever you want, Olympic gold medals, she can run them up now. Look, speaking of the Olympics, it's time for us to go. And do we have our own closing ceremony on today's show?
Certainly do, Tane. It's been running constantly through the duration of the Olympics.
Yeah. Now, you're talking about, of course, our Olympic flame.
Our Olympic flame.
And because it's the final day of the closing ceremony, maybe it's time to really introduce people to the flame. I'm not sure if people are even aware that we've had the flame.
While we extinguish it?
Okay, I'll just move the mic around and people will be able to... There you go. Can you hear that? That is the Martin Molloy Olympic flame. It's been burning brightly for a good 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mickey?
Well, it is time to extinguish it, Tane, and I sincerely hope you hurry because it's starting to burn my buttocks.
Oh, dear, just put some pants on if you could, Mickey. There you go. And that's our official closing ceremony.
Oh, that's better.
Oh, yeah. The Olympic flame is extinguished. Oh, yeah. All the pomp and pageantry you'd expect for such a solemn occasion. And we must go. Thanks to all our guests
nice
today.
To sit down.
Good on you. We'd like to thank Judith Lucy. We'd like to thank all our gladiators and confessors and everybody who helped us out with a closing ceremony report. Tomorrow we'll be joined by comedian Dave O'Neill. He's with us once again. And until then, people, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Molloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Pete Smith speaking.